Welcome back to Durker and Hott on Baseball, where I'll talk old school baseball with former Astros pitcher, broadcaster, and manager Larry Durker. In this segment, we talk a little bit about pitching, about Bob Gibson's big year in 1968, Larry Durker's big year in 1969, and the lowering of the mound after the 1968 season and what effect that had.
I just posted the Baseball Library show where you called it Bob Gibson Juggernaut about his 68 season.
Yeah. Said
that was the best season any of your contemporaries had at the time. And you gave some examples of Gaylord Perry, Steve Carlton, other people who had, you know, really big time seasons either just before or after that. In retrospect, you know, McLain won 31 games in 68. Bob Gibson had his big year. So they lowered the mound for 69. And I wondered, you know, you had your big season in 69. How much did changing the mound affect you, or did it?
Well, I don't think it had as much of an effect on me because I was kind of in a three-quarter slot with my throwing motion. I think it affected guys that threw straight over the top more, and guys that throw three-quarter or sidearm don't really mind a low mound. So I knew they changed the rule, but to be honest, I didn't even notice it. And whatever height it was a good height for me. But I think my improvement was more due to just experience. You know, I'd already had 3 or 4 or 5 years of experience, and it finally just came together. The other thing was, I think that was the year that we traded Dave Justy for Johnny Edwards.
Right.
And so all of a sudden I had one of the best catchers in the league, and that instilled a lot of confidence for me because he just, you know, he was a leader, and he knew the league, and he called a good game, and when he didn't, and we weren't on the same page, he'd get in there and talk about it. It was just a really great relationship, and I had never had a relationship with a catcher like that before. So probably my own progress and the catcher more than the mound.
So you didn't notice that? I think it went from 18 inches to 12 inches high, maybe, but you really didn't notice that as far as how you landed or your stride or anything?
No, not that much, because one of the things that came into play when you talk about the height of the mound is the nature of the field. So, for instance, at Wrigley Field, probably Crosley too, but Wrigley's I remember better because I only played, pitched a couple of games at Crosley. But when the mound was pretty flat, even in 68, and the reason for that is that the drop from the pitching rubber to home plate was standard, but the whole field itself was crowned for drainage.
Okay.
So it was a mild slope from the mound, but it kept on sloping down all the way to home plate and all the way to the backstop because the whole field was, you know, if you stand in the dugout at Wrigley Field, you can't see the second base bag.
Okay.
And so I think, you know, Connie Mack, you know, a lot of those places that I had pitched in the first couple of years that got replaced by the Big Bulls, they probably all seem relatively flat because if you built them up high, it would really be high on a crowned surface. So for me, I think it probably would have bothered me more to have a high mound and have a steep slope than it would to have the mound a little lower and a more gentle slope. I'm not sure about that, but that's the way I think. Does that make sense?
Sure. I mean, I tend to think that a lot of fields, it just seems like, would slope toward maybe short right field. There'd be a crown that would drain out in right center field somewhere. And I know that one of the complaints they had about Texas Stadium, where Dallas played football, was there was such a crown in there that they said if the quarterback was in the center of the field and looked out, he couldn't see the legs of the wide receivers because they were so far below where he was, so it changed their angle to throw the ball, each to his own, I guess.
Yeah. And, you know, if you went to Dodger Stadium, it always seemed steep because there never rains out there, so they didn't really account for that with the field. If you were on any of the fields that happened after that, when the AstroTurf was put down in about three quarters of the fields. Then the mound seemed like it really raised up because there wasn't any crowd effect.
Do you buy the idea that they always used to talk about Dodger Stadium that they would claim the mound was higher? Was it really higher, or was that just this non-standard slope, or what do you think?
It seems steeper. I don't know if it was higher, but it seems steeper. Another thing that comes to mind is that when we got Randy Johnson, he only had one bad game, and it was Philadelphia. And so he was, you know, he gave up some hits and runs and walked some guys, and he got mad and slammed his glove and going nuts. And I told, when he came in after the first inning, I told Vern Rule to go try to settle him down. He walked up by the locker room, and he looked at me like, hey, I'm not going to go up there and mess around with him. He just came in slamming his glove and screaming. So I said, okay, and I walked off. Told Matt Lanny or somebody to watch the game, and I went up there and talked to him and asked him if he'd find a way to get us five or six innings so we could save the relief pitchers, you know, somewhere in Terre. It would be great. You know, sometimes you just have to do something like that. Okay. So the second inning was pretty bad, but by the third inning, he was just really... So I told Vern to go out there and kill some time. I was going to bring somebody else in. And again, he looked at me like he was afraid to, so I went out there. I got out there, that mound was so high. It was so high, I was standing on the front of it looking at him, and he was standing on top of it. And I felt like I was looking at Wilt Chamberlain or Yao Ming or somebody. I mean, he was so, I had to look almost straight up to look him in the eye. And so that's when I realized that he was a sidearm thrower. And on that steep mound, he couldn't find the strike zone. So, I think there's a comfort zone for every pitcher, I think, and it may be different from one pitcher to the next.
Yeah, I mean, you think, you talk about sidearm guys, you go back and look at Dodger Stadium and you think, okay, they had Drysdale, who was kind of sidearm, yet they had Koufax.
Uh-huh.
Yet they had Koufax, who was over the top, so...
Yeah.
Which you know, you would tend
Sutton
to think.
Was over the top. I think most of their pitchers were over the top. At one point, all of their pitchers seemed to have almost the same delivery. Red Adams or something, whoever the pitching coach was there, they always had good pitchers, and they had to stand with their chest facing home plate and step straight back with their landing foot before starting to deliver, and then reset their foot on the rubber, and I never really thought there was much value in that, and I didn't do it myself, but that's every single one of them seemed to do the same thing. And whatever it was they were doing, they had good stuff and good control, and we never scored.
Yeah, funny how that works.
That's it for this episode of Durker and Hot on Baseball. Check us out on Facebook or at hotcorner.com.